To be orderly is to be observant of order or method. To be well regulated. To be something to be performed in good order, not tumultuous, methodically, according to due order or according to rule. That's what it means to be in order or to be orderly as a Christian. And you know what? You could even say it in so many terms. You can say you're going to toe the line. All right? Or be what you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be, and where you're supposed to be. This is just being orderly. Now, don't confuse being orderly with living a godly life, because they are somewhat different, although the same and related, if you understand what I'm saying. So, but simply to live an ordered life is to live by a rule. To just be what you're supposed to be. Following a method. A well-regulated, performed character. So we need to be what we should be as Christians is basically the gist of what I'm saying. To be orderly. Now, you know the Bible verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40. Paul simply says about a multitude of things, let all things be done decently and in order. Okay, so at that particular time, he's talking about speaking in tongues and different types of things that were happening in the church. But basically, things were tumultuous. They were upside down. They were every which way. And he was just kind of at the end of that particular comments that he was making, he just made a statement, let all things be done decently and in order. And can I say, brothers and sisters in Christ, we should let all things in our lives be done decently and in order. So we have to, first of all, establish something. What's the order? What order are we supposed to follow? What is the method? What is the procedure? What is the right path? Well, again, the Bible helps us understand this in Psalm 37. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he, that's God, delighteth in his, that's the man's, way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hands. We know the Bible tells us that a righteous man falleth seven times and riseth up again. It's not about whether or not we make a misstep or stumble or fall. It's whether or not we're going to get back up and continue to go in the same order that we were in before. Are we going to stick to our guns? Are we going to toe the line? Are we going to live an orderly life? In other words, can you be predictable? I'm somewhat predictable. No, I'm absolutely predictable. I just am who I am. You know, God said, tell them I am has sent me to you. You know, God's just God. Isn't God predictable? Isn't he follow an order? A method? Is there any things that go awry in God's world? No, because he's God. He does the same things. He is God. He doesn't change. He does things very orderly. In Genesis chapter 1, we could read through and see how step by step God created the world. And guess what? He did it in such a fashion that it was decent and in order. And in verse 31 it says, and God saw everything that he had made. And behold, here's that word again, it was very good. Not just good, very good. We've had a few dealings with that word very, haven't we, recently? It says, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. You know what it said previously? It said, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. God does things in order. In Psalm 104, beginning in verse 5, it says, who laid the foundations of the earth? that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, and they gather themselves together and lay down there in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Now, I took the time to read that because it just really accented this thing that God does things decently and in order. He's got a time and a purpose and a place for everything. Another passage in Ecclesiastes talks about there's a time and a purpose and a place for things. You understand that being orderly just simply means to do things in order, to have a sequence, to have a path you follow, a method, and it's well regulated and it's due to order and according to rule. It's not tumultuous, but rather methodical in its dealings. Are we that kind of creature? We should be. You know, nature itself is set in order. You know, over and over again, in the Bible, it talks about perversion. You know what perversion is? It's going against the natural order. That's what perversion is. And it's creeping into our society today by leaps and bounds, is it not? Something that comes into my mind that is said in the New Testament, without natural affection. Folks, we're designed to be in order, to do what we're supposed to do, to be what we're supposed to be orderly in our behavior. In Leviticus chapter 24, I'll have you turn to 1 Chronicles 15 while I read in Leviticus 24. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure olive oil beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually, without the veil of the testimony, in the tabernacle of the congregation. Shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually." In the setting up of nature, God had an order. In the setting up of his house, God had an order. Remember this, this passage of scripture here in 1 Chronicles, around this chapter, a man named Uzzah put forth his hand to steady the ark of the Lord while it was on an oxen cart. Okay? Now, we're going to get to that in just a second, but let me read to you what happened after all of that took place, here beginning in verse 12. This is David. "And said unto them, Ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it." Now, we're going to take a little bit of a time out. I'm going to make a few comments here. "But for because Ye did it not at the first. The Lord our God made a breach upon us. So here's the timeout. David, you're the one that ordered the cart. I don't know if he's kind of putting the blame on the Levites, but he should have said we or I instead of you. Anyways, that's another thing there. But so in other words, he said, God made a breach upon us. He's talking about Uzzah. And then he says, he continues, it says, for that we sought him not after the due order. Now, here's the thing he did right. He didn't blame God. It was not God's fault. God had made a command. He had set an order. When he gave Moses in the first five books of the Bible, when he gave Moses the laying out of the tabernacle and how it was all supposed to be constructed and put together, there was a certain order to it. And certain people were supposed to do certain jobs and take certain things apart and put certain things together. And this socket was supposed to go into this. And this board was supposed to go here. And this curtain was supposed to be hung here. And the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to be carried a certain way. Not on a cart. There was an order to it. See, why are you taking the time to really spell out all of these things? Well, in having to do with the natural course of this world, God has an order. In the way of his house and his way to be worshipped and his way to do things, God has an order. And we just need to follow it. I already read to you about the steps of a good man being ordered by the Lord. That God wants all things to be done decently and in order. In Psalm 119, we just recently went over this verse. Order my steps in thy word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So if we want to stay in order and be orderly, we need to follow God. Just simply put, we need to follow his ways, his paths, his statutes, his judgments, his commandments. Oh, that reminds me. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 19. By the way, the rest of that other passage said, and the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. Amazing. There's an order to it. They should have done that in the first place and Uzzah might not have died. Right there in Psalm 19, I know we've gone over this many times, but it just bears repeating, because it is so wonderful. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are right, true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So we have this thing of God having nature and his ways and his house and all the things that God has put forth in order. Then, so we have all of that. So what does that mean about man? Well, we should follow suit. We likewise should be decent and in order. In Colossians 2, Paul said, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying," he says, "and beholding your order." Paul was excited about the Colossians and how they had handled themselves there in Colossae. That their order was pleasing to the Lord. Remember how they were called Christians first in Antioch? Why? Because of their order. They were little Christs. They were following the ways of the Savior. Just as he said that they should teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Paul said, "Beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." So he's commending them. He's complimenting them on their orderly behavior. And it's in Christ. And it's in their faith. And it's steadfast. He says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught." What is this? This is an orderly life. It's ordered by the principles of God's word. It's ordered by the things that God has given. It's a method, an order, and a rule. And it's performed in good order. It's not tumultuous. It's methodical. It's regular and well regulated. He's commending them. What a commendation. That sounds a little bit like a well done. I kind of like that. So he tells them that they're doing a good job. But he gives them a caution. He says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." What's the opposite of being orderly? Being disorderly. And isn't that prevalent in our society today? So he says, "Hey, you're doing a good job, Colossians. Way to go. Beware. Beware. Because there's disorder out there." Well, along with doing things in order, we ought to also work on, to be orderly, this thing of self-discipline. Oh boy. In other words, if we're going to be successful at following this path, following this method, following these principles, we have to control us. Simple as that. Right? No? Not simple? Difficult? Yeah. And especially if you're dealing with me, very difficult. Hey, take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We can do this. As you're turning there in 1 Corinthians 9, let me give you a warning. Not in the flesh, but in the spirit. The Bible says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Simple as that. Self-control. There in 1 Corinthians 9, know ye not that they which, verse 24, I didn't tell you what verse. Look at verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run well? Run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. We just need self-control. We need to do what Paul says. He says, hey, these others, they strive for the mastery and do these things to obtain a corruptible crown. But we're doing it to obtain an incorruptible crown. So we fight not and run not uncertainly. We fight not as one that just flails around, right? Just uncontrolled. But rather, we're controlled. We are keeping our body and bringing it unto subjection. You know, I don't have time to go through Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 with you about how we war against the flesh. And there's this battle within us. And we've got to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. We've got to do these things so that we don't give in to the flesh and we walk in the Spirit as we should. It's called self-discipline. And someone who is going to order himself for the Lord must be disciplined. Disciplined. In Colossians 3, Paul says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, or if you will, disorderliness, in the which ye also walked sometime, when ye lived, past tense, in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And here's the key. If you want self-discipline and want to walk orderly, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We know that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But you know what we have to do? We have to exercise it. We have to choose to say yes to the order that God has for our lives and no to the disorder that's available in this world. What does it result? Living an orderly life. I'm going to sum about 55 verses in about 30 seconds. Y'all turn too slow. That was you. No, I talk too much. I got a big mouth. In Colossians 3, he finishes the chapter by saying this, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know what an orderly life brings? It brings peace. You know, I read to you about Romans chapter 8. We know that to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. You know, ladies, when everything is in order in your homes, what's it like? It's peaceful, right? When it's disorderly, if you want to know what that's like, just come into my house. It's not very peaceful. A disorderly Christian life is not very peaceful. But an orderly life is. One that's done decently in order brings peace. Isaiah 26 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. In other words, live an orderly life. He says, live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. You know what? If we'll decide to live an orderly life, God will bring peace into our lives. Remember what the Bible says? That God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Isn't he? And he's given us the power of peace. He wants us to have peace in our lives. And it's not going to come from being disorderly. It's going to come from being orderly. Let me read one last testimony out of 2 John. Paul said, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." Paul says, "I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it." There's another commendation there. Telling someone that they were doing was right to keep on doing it. It says that God would grant them mercy and peace. You know what? I think we could all use a little bit more peace in our lives. Yes? Where's it going to come from? From doing things in order and having self-discipline. Just being an orderly Christian. You know what? We as Christians should be a little predictable. People should know what we're going to do, what we're going to say, where we're going to go, where we're not going to go. Why? Because we're just God's people. Trying to do things according to God's way and be orderly about it.